I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Maddie.
That did really make it feel like this was iCarly.
Yeah.
Well, you like mouthing along to it and doing the 5-4, that was really what did it for me.
I'm glad I could do it for you.
Yeah.
How are you? Yeah. Welcome to What the Fuck is Happening, I guess.
Thank you for having me. Do I say that joke every single week? I think I do.
Yeah, because you're such a comedian.
And I can never remember the jokes that I've made in the past. So.
Yeah, just your average joke comedian.
Exactly.
Anyway, hello.
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. No, I mean, lots of complaints, but nothing to do on the podcast, so...
We have already spent a few minutes chatting beforehand.
This is true.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a solid amount of like entertainment-y news items that I want to chat about later in the pod. So I kind of want to jump straight into our What the Fuck of the Weeks, if you're cool with that.
Yeah. I don't have one, so.
Why don't you have one?
I do have one!
Okay.
I bet it's the same one as yours. I bet it's the same one as yours.
I'm putting moisturizer on because in Australia, it's winter.
It's dry as fuck.
The way my lips get dry is homophobic. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Taylor Swift tickets.
It's not the same one, but I'm glad that you're bringing it up.
We got... fucked over by Ticket Tech. I will die on this hill.
We did.
So did a lot of other people, to be fair, but I only care about me.
Context.
We didn't get tickets. That's context.
To Taylor Swift?
To Taylor Swift. Anybody in Australia who also tried to get tickets
knows the
definitely
pen.
Already knows. knows the T, knows the sitch.
Yeah.
Ticket Tech... fucked us in the asshole with no lube, and it was terrible.
Yes, I full-heartedly agree with this statement.
I can't give any more details because I'm so upset about it. I can't put them into words.
That's so fair. I feel like it feels like a solemn, like telling someone that a relative.
Yeah,
died,
it does.
Which is so absurd.
I had so many friends text me and be like, did you get tickets? And every time I was like, no, they were like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, yeah, me fucking too. This is the worst day of my life.
Not to be like a snowflake liberal, but triggered.
literally.
You
can tell I'm not over it.
Well, okay, no, I feel like we need to...
I'm getting more upset the more days that go on.
No, totally. It's... snowballing.
Yeah, it is. All right, you give context while I just...
Well, the context is that I was trying to get tickets on Wednesday.
Yes.
To the Taylor Swift Eras Tour in any
along
Sydney or Melbourne dates
basically
from 10 a.m.
Australian citizen
until 6 p.m.
Mm.
That whole time I was trying to get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even get through.
Mm-mm.
I followed all the rules. I didn't refresh. I had it open on multiple devices that were connected to different networks. Like, I felt like, you know, when, like, NCIS and shit, when they're like, image, enhance. And it's like, no, that's, one, that's not possible, and two, you look like a dick. But anyway, I was like that, like, fucking speed glasses on and, like, you know. And then got nothing in the pre-sale, which I have a lot to say about fucking this term pre-sale. And then Friday, Maddie and I were both on from 10 a.m. till probably 3 or 4.
Hmm.
Essentially until it was confirmed that everything was sold out.
Pretty much.
And neither of us got through. So that was double the amount of phones and shit. Neither of us got through. Leading up to last week when it was ticket to purchase time, Maddie and I... were living our, like, delusional Debbie lives.
Well, okay, so the thing is that we were really mad that she's not coming to Brisbane. Not to dox our very own selves, but we are close to Brisbane. That's the concert that we would go to, right?
Yeah, well, no, we're in Brisbane. Only... This is common knowledge for people who listen, yes.
So we not anywhere near Sydney or Melbourne, so we were already really fucking pissed off that she wasn't coming to Brisbane. That it would cost so much money to get down there. And then that she was only doing a few shows to cater to all of Australia and all of New Zealand. So we were like, in protest, we won't even care if we don't get tickets.
Yeah, we were like, we were like, it's going to cost so fucking much money even to go to Sydney, which is almost 11-hour commute for us. It'd be 11-hour drive each way. Mm-hmm. So it was already like... We were questioning whether we wanted to go. We both wanted to go, but we were like, is it...
Financially,
is it like a reasonable expense?
Is this... Can we manage this?
And then, like, the week before, we were like, yeah, it's probably worth it, especially if we can get Sydney tickets.
Yes.
I think we'd both really regret it if we didn't.
Yes.
However, because we've been so wishy-washy for the months prior, we were like, if we don't get tickets, it's not the end of the world. It was meant to be... And it's okay. We're okay if we don't get tickets. We'll be fine. Because it's going to be super expensive to go, and it's going to be, you know, massive expense, massive time, amount of time to travel and stuff.
For further context, I absolutely believed myself when I was saying those things. I, like, tricked my own self into believing what, retrospectively, I realized are lies.
Well, so I, and in my head, I was like, I don't think people kind of realize... Or no, that's not true. Perhaps I was like, I realized that people, in my head, I'm now like, Taylor Swift, pre-pandemic, was probably, you know, still one of the biggest artists in the world and stuff, and still super crazy popular. But I feel like, personally, over the pandemic, she's gone from... pop girly, who's for the girls and the gays, to kind of just megastar, who's kind of generally enjoyed by the entire general public, which in, like, giving, like, Beyonce vibes, it's kind of like an everyone wants to go to the concert, everyone listens to the music.
I just don't see...
Especially now that she's had Folklore and Evermore, and she's kind of varied the kind of music and stuff, I feel like she's gained an even higher audience, and now she is undeniably one of, like, the biggest artists in the world.
Well, I did see someone the other day also say, and I think this was a very accurate take, be like, everybody wants to go to the Eras Tour because it's this massive, like, just playing the hits of every single album kind of thing. And they were like, I just don't think that if she was doing a Midnight's Tour, it would be as, like, crazy as this. And I was like, that's probably pretty accurate. Like, I think there would probably be less public demand.
Because the Eras, the Midnight Tour would still be covering from Lover to Midnights.
No, sure, but I don't think it would be this, like, just random, off-the-street general public being like, oh my god, yeah, I want to go see Taylor Swift kind of thing, you know?
I disagree.
Really?
I think it wouldn't matter. I think she would still be...
I think she would still be selling out all of these stadiums and stuff. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it would be the absolute fucking shit fest that it is to get tickets.
Okay, I still think that.
People who are listening, please let us know below whether you think I am correct or whether you think Nicholas is a fucking idiot.
I mean, two things can be true at once.
So true. I am correct and Nicholas is a fucking idiot.
Period. But... No, I feel like she's kind of gone,
She has.
For everyone. She's now for the normies.
No, it's true. She's, like, less divisive.
Yeah, I feel like, especially when we went to see her last time on the Reputation Tour in, like, 2017 or 18, she was like, career-wise, or general public perception-wise, she was like at her lowest, right?
Well, I just don't know, because the Reputation Stadium Tour at the time was the highest grossing tour of all time. So how can those two things be true at the same time?
Even just the Swifties and the general public girls and gays who like her were still going.
Yeah.
Like, are still big enough to sell out all of these stadiums and stuff, right?
Mm.
But I think general perception-wise, like public perception-wise, she was probably at her lowest at Reputation, i.e. the album being called Reputation and being what it's about.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
She was like that tweet, you know, the Christina tweet, the, Christina was at her lowest, fat, nasty, and broke, and she came on this bitch mad as hell. Do you know that one?
No, I don't, but that's
it's when exactly she was featured on Maroon 5's Moves Like Jagger, so one of her fans was like, it's been so hard being a Christina fan, she's at her career's lowest, she's fat, nasty, and broke, and she came on this bitch mad as hell. Like, how mad as, like, iconic. Imagine a fan reading you like that. But anyway, she was like that during Reputation, where, you know, her fans are still her fans, but, like, I think there's a reason that we got tickets so close to the concert last time. Anyway.
Did we? We bought those from a secondhand site, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, but didn't Brisbane Stadium only sold out, like, a few weeks before the concert?
I don't know. I don't remember.
But anyway. Maddie genuinely thought that we would get tickets because she's been a directioner in the middle of the 1D days, getting Justin tickets Bieber, to the concerts.
Justin Bieber, I went, like, I've been Justin Bieber like 3 times.
Mm.
Yeah, One Direction, I've been multiple times, almost front row. I genuinely, like, in my mind, I was like, yeah, it's going to be hard. There's a lot of people who want tickets, but I just don't understand how I would not get tickets. Turns out Ticket Tech would fuck us in the ass with no lube.
Well, you were thinking that. I wasn't quite so optimistic. I was very much of the, I think this is going to be in the trenches fighting for our lives. But I think typically in my experience, pre-sales have done me well.
Yeah.
They've not ever kind of disappointed me, pre-sales.
Yeah.
Little did I know, this pre-sale was essentially the general on sale part one. The prequel, you know?
It was.
Sorry, I hope that recorded. Did you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, Siri, like, popped up and demanded my attention.
That's funny.
Yeah, pre-sales never failed me. So I was like, I think it's going to be really fucking tough, and I don't know if we'll get the tickets we want in the pre-sale. But I think in my heart of hearts, I genuinely believed we would get tickets.
Yeah, same. Next minute, Ticket Tech changes the rules. 18 hours of
my life I'm never getting back.
I just don't understand. So basically the way that it usually works when you buy tickets, and the way that fucking makes a lot of sense, is
it's two-pronged. Yeah. So you explain how it fucked us up in the moment, like in the actual queuing system. You keep going. Okay. Sorry for interrupting, but I just want to say that there's like a two-parter. But go.
Okay, well, so usually how it works is that it's an actual queue. So it's first come, first served, gets let in. As more people, like, as people buy tickets and move out of the checkout process, the next person in the line gets moved in. Ticket Tech decided, in all their infinite wisdom, they were like, you know what? To make it fair, we're going to randomize who gets let in. And so it didn't matter how long you waited or sat in the lounge, where they were fucking calling it. They just were like, yeah, you can come in, not you. So that resulted then in some people getting tickets to multiple nights and other people, such as us, not getting any tickets at all.
Not even getting in. I want to be clear. It's genuinely just luck. It was genuinely just luck. It's been confirmed.
Ticket Tech said it. Yeah.
And they're like, it's the only way to be fair. That is not true.
No, that's not
I'm true. Like... What if we, like, turn into Fox News?
Yeah.
And suddenly we're like, no. No equality for anyone. Everyone deserves to be put in their place.
They do! When you have a system that works for everybody, why would you change it? And
I actually have a system that I think would work better. And I'll explain it after I've continued. So I think there was an issue. Another issue with that was that, especially for the pre-sale.
Oh, yeah. They fucking just gave the code to a million people. That's not even an exaggeration. It was literally a million people got it.
It was literally. And that was just for the Sydney shows.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I think the pre-sale code was an issue in two regards. One was that on the day of the pre-sale, you didn't need to enter your code to get into the queue.
That's so true.
This meant that just anyone who was like, oh, I'll hop on and see if the tickets are sold out, I'm just curious. There were multiple people in my office at work on the day who just jumped on to see what was happening. So there was like probably 100,000 people who didn't actually want or intend to buy tickets on that day.
That's horrible.
Who were in the queue because you didn't need to put in your pre-sale code before entering the queue. So that was one issue. Issue two is that the pre-sale code was just have a Frontier account.
Yeah, literally.
Every single pre-sale I've ever done for any concert I've been to,
yeah,
the pre-sale has either been for buying merch and or the album directly from the artist's store.
Yeah.
So, I often buy the vinyl merch packs, pre-order them before the album comes out on my favorite artists' sites and stuff. So I always get a pre-sale code for that. I often get, like, JB Hi-Fi often does pre-sale codes. Often if you're just signed up to the artist's emailing list, so people who are signed up to the Taylor Nation fan club. It's like an official fan club. It's run by her. But, like, the Taylor Nation, if they were signed up to that, that should be the pre-sale. Not just having a Frontier account.
Yeah.
Because that's, everyone who's ever bought concert tickets ever.
Literally. Literally.
So the pre-sale was not a pre-sale.
No.
Because it was not limited by any means to any kind of, what is it called? Any kind of...
anything. Barriers.
Yeah, there was no barriers. There was no barrier of entry. It was just whoever wants tickets can get tickets in the pre-sale, which is fucking dumb because it's a pre-sale. I think it should have been anyone who was signed up to the Taylor Nation, Taylor Artists email list should have gotten a pre-sale, and it should have been that pre-sale. I think that would have, one, rewarded the fans who actually were intending to buy tickets, and two, I think it would have limited it so it wasn't such a shit fucking show.
Yeah.
And those are the two things that I think went wrong with specifically the pre-sale, is that you didn't need to put in the code and you didn't need to put in the code until you were buying tickets, and the pre-sale was just open to literally everyone.
Yeah.
So it was just general on sale.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that like two-thirds of the tickets were sold by the time the Amex pre-sale and the general on sale pre-sale were done. And then by the time the general on sale came Friday, they were sold out in like 10 minutes.
No, yeah, it's very possible. It's very possible. Anyway, so now Nicholas and I are really upset.
Well, we both were like,
we told ourselves we wouldn't be. We don't.
Yeah, we messaged each other and we were like, well, we said that we weren't going to be upset.
Right? And then we texted later and we were both like, I just had a little cry.
Yeah, we were like, so
remember what was said about not being upset? Don't be mad, but I'm upset.
I'm upset. I'm very upset. Literally, I was so mad. I was so grumpy. I went to dinner with my family that on Friday night and it was like, I was just blank-faced, emotionless. I felt numb. And I think it was shocking to me because I was like, I desperately wanted to not be the type of person who could get this upset about not getting tickets to a concert. Yeah. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, there's probably only like two artists, three max, who I would feel this way about it. And I regret that Taylor Swift is one of them.
Yeah.
But she means a lot to, like, her music means a lot to me and all this stuff. And it's like, it's as the same for everyone. But, you know, it's
no,
like...
No, I agree. I mean, I think for me, I would not even bother trying to buy tickets, let alone actually buy tickets to a concert that I did not want to go to, or to an artist that I did not like, or for an album that I didn't enjoy. Like, I just would be like, oh, I'll see them next time. Or I don't need to see this person. I just wouldn't spend my money on it. So when I make the choice to not only go, yeah, okay, I'm committing to spending the money to go to the concert And also I'm committing to spending the money to go to a whole other fucking state and city. Like, those are not decisions I make lightly.
Yeah.
And so I think I probably should have seen it coming that when, if it didn't work out, that I would be like, oh, that's actually disappointing.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, I think we were just genuinely delusional. We were like trying to, like, sure. It was obviously we were just trying to convince ourselves that we'd be okay, but turns out that was a lie. And honestly, like, yeah. I can admit that it wasn't even just disappointment and sadness that I felt not getting tickets.
Yeah.
I'm okay to admit that I was feeling anger. Not to be like a toxic man or whatever, but I was mad as hell. I came on this bitch mad as hell, okay? No, you were same. Kind of the same. I don't think you were like as gung-ho mad as I was.
Well, what are you going to say? I'm really mad at the people who bought tickets to multiple nights, but I know you were really mad at Taylor for a little while.
Well, yeah, I think Taylor is slightly to blame because she expected two entire countries to be able to fit into these shows in Sydney and Melbourne, which are both in the same corner of Australia.
Yeah.
I'm mostly angry at the people who got tickets to multiple shows or all of the shows. I've seen people who got tickets to every single show she's doing.
It's fucking crazy. It's so... I don't know. It's just...
The fact that Ticket Tech even allows that, though, by the way.
I know. It's really
Ticket
true.
Tech should be limiting you to 4 tickets for one show.
Yeah, period. It's really, really true. If you want to make it fucking equal and give everyone a fair chance, don't let people buy tickets to so many nights.
Period.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I was literally, like, screenshotting Australian Swifties accounts on Twitter who were like bragging about having multiple shows and sending them to the group chat and being like, look at this fucking cunt.
That's so true. He did do that.
I was so fucking mad. And
yeah,
there's this one specific one. I'm not going to name and shame, obviously. But I do want to say that I think it's legit hilarious. I might not even have it anymore.
But deleted it in a rage.
I
feel like I've gotten to the stage. So at first I was just upset and then I started to get angry. And now I've gotten to the stage of my grief where I'm like, I can't even look at videos of other people at the Eras tour because I'm like, I'm not going. So I can't be happy for them and I can't be happy for me. So I just need to swipe. I need to move on.
No, I'm with you there. I found it and it's, I'm not going to name the account, even though I usually do, because this is, you know, I'm sending them hate. but like, there's this one person on Twitter who's an Australian Swiftie who posted a photo of them with tickets to literally every Australian show that Taylor's doing. And then they got tons of messages being like, okay, selfish Sally, how about you go fuck yourself? And, like, how dare you do that when other Swifties can't even get one ticket to one show?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's all fair criticism. Like, really bullying works, folks. but then they, like, posted that, bragged about it, and then, like, tweeted, please stop sending me nasty shit because I got tickets to all the shows I wanted or because I've seen the tour already. So not only did this bitch get tickets to every single Australian show, she's flown to America and been to the Eras Tour in America twice. The first time she won a
about that detail.
The first time she won a competition to get flown to America to go to the Eras Tour, and the second time she paid with her own money to fly to America and go to the Eras Tour.
That really,
like, literally the way that
I feel sick to my stomach.
I'm shaking. The way that she says those trips were paid for out of hard-earned money and winning a competition, and it's like you, watch it.
Yeah.
The way. Jesus. I rarely feel this much anger towards someone I don't know.
I'd never feel this much anger towards people I do know.
I just find it so absurd that she would brag about getting all those tickets and then make a statement saying, stop bullying me because I got the tickets I wanted, which is to all the shows, and I've already been. Like, I didn't know that you'd already been to the concert. You could have left that out.
Yeah.
and I would have felt a little bit bad that people were bullying you, but yeah. You put that in. So you were like, I'm going to double down and brag. Having said that, I will say, it does make sense that a Swiftie would be socially inept.
You're right. That's so true.
Because if you think about, like, the horse girls at school, or, like, the Hannah Montana girlies at school, and stuff like that, they were, like...
crazy.
Delusional Debbies.
Yeah.
They would be, like, always one-upping everyone, and so always, true. Like, bragging about stuff, and in the statement saying, stop bullying me, she then brags about something irrelevant, like, something completely different that we didn't know about. I don't know. I just find this one specific person on Twitter an absolute twat.
That's really fair. They definitely, I think, have become the face of all anger towards people buying multiple nights.
Yeah, and, like, not all Swifties, but, like, a lot of Swifties are bad people. And, like, almost on the Barb level, almost on the K-pop stan level.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true. That's all I'll say. I don't know. Can be borderline. Did you see? Oh, no, you did. We talked about this last week, right, of Taylor Swift being like, please, whoever you think this song is about.
Yeah.
Don't bully people.
I know, which is, like, the first time ever she's told her fans not to be, like,
yeah,
trash.
It's really true. Anyway, moving on from Taylor Swift. That's the thing,
is we're, like, hardcore stans, but I don't know that we would describe ourselves as Swifties, because I think Swifties has a connotation of, like, horse girl energy.
It's, I think about this a lot, because I'm like, Taylor's music is probably almost exclusively what I listen to. And I'm like, but would I consider myself a Swiftie? And the answer is usually no. I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because but it's like a, I think it's that's a self-label. Just because I'm sane, you know?
Yeah, like, that's the thing.
I adore Taylor and I adore her music, but I'm not like...
Not just that. We like...
I don't know.
Participate like in all of the like guessing games and theories and shit. We participate in that, which would make us Swifties, but Swiftie itself is like you have to bestow that name upon yourself, and I don't think I'm willing to do that based on the reputation.
Me either.
Ironically, the reputation. So no, that fucking sucked.
Yeah, that did suck. It was
depressing.
It was. If you couldn't tell from the way we just talked about it for 20 minutes. And we've actually been talking about this since it happened on Thursday, Friday.
It's true. Do you want to hear my pitch for a better Ticketek queuing system?
Please, give it to me.
I think I've already told you, but I think that there's a middle ground between completely random luck of the draw and... what's it called? Like, in order of when you log on kind of thing. Yeah. I think it's kind of impossible to do the log on, like, numerical, like a line, like a queue.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do, like, a literal queue because so many people are logging on at once.
Yeah.
But I feel like they should have, like, 3 to 5 minute groups and you should be assigned groups.
Oh, yes.
Based on when you show up. So it's still in a queue. But if you're there in the first 3 minutes of the sale, you're put into the first group, and then within that first group, it's random draw until everyone in the first group has had a go. Then it moves on to group B, which is minutes 5 to 10, anyone who logged in during them. That kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
I think that would make more sense. It would still be luck, but it would still be less luck.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. It does.
Like, statistically, you'd have more of a chance.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. Because completely random was just a shit show and not fair and really messed up.
It's really true. It was. Ugh.
Also, disclaimer, we are aware that this is first world problems.
That's true. We are. You're right. Which I think is why, like, I mean, I saw a lot of people, like, crying, and I totally understand that there are people out there who her music probably means like something much more meaningful and profound to them than it does to me, for example. Like, don't get me wrong, I love her and I love her music, and I they're very thoughtful, blah blah blah, I relate to it, but it's not like she saved my life or anything like that, you know?
Right.
But like, I just don't really get when people who were like, you know, full
breakdown.
Well,
the bitch that I was bitching about on Twitter,
yeah,
had the photo that she posted with the tickets was her crying and her mascara like all the way down her face.
Yeah.
You've already seen this tour twice.
Yeah.
Perhaps tears aren't necessary. But you know what? The other thing I forgot to say in her little thread of tweets saying, stop bullying me just because I'm a selfish bitch. She also said, I've been a fan of Taylor since 2006.
Yeah.
And it's like, ma'am, I don't think
I deserve
that
this.
Fucking means shit. Especially when you've already seen the tour.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's stop talking. Let's not mention Taylor for the rest of the show.
Okay.
All right. Because I'm mad at also her. Because I think... I just...
No, we're not doing it anymore. We're moving on.
My hot take on the Eras tour is that she should feel free to do a 3.5-hour show through all of the US. The travel's not that crazy if they're going state by state. I think she should have a shortened, probably 2-hour, whatever, tour for all the international dates. I think it would allow her...
I mean, to be fair to her, for all we know, she's going to.
If she fucking has a 2-hour show in Australia after this fucking shit show and her saying using the 3+-hour show as an excuse, yeah. I'm going to be mad.
It's really fair.
Because for people who are completely, normal humans who don't give a fuck about this shit.
Yeah.
The reason, her official reasoning for not being able to do many shows and for doing multiple shows in the same city and letting people travel to her is because it's a massive production with a full-size house and it's 3.5 hours long. So health-wise, she cannot perform it multiple nights in a row if she's traveling in between them. It's just not, for her voice and stuff, it's not plausible. But I'm like, well then perhaps doing 20 months of this isn't an awesome idea in the first place. And if a 2-hour show means she can visit more places or have more shows, I don't know. I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with missing out on some...
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
I do.
Anyway,
moving on from Taylor. Yeah.
My what the fuck of the week this week is Blake Lively.
Oh, okay. Is this the alcohol thing?
This is in the Taylor Swift cinematic universe. This is still the TSCU.
Iconic.
yeah, it is. It's just about the alcohol. Sorry, my thing just logged out. Was I gone then? Or am I
no.
Good?
You're stunning. Fine.
Okay, so this week, Blake Lively got in trouble.
She did.
Clearly, you already know about this. But basically, Blake Lively, for years, has publicly lived a sober lifestyle. She is a sober person. And she's been an advocate for it and said in multiple interviews that she thinks it's great and she is sober because she hates the way that alcohol affects the body and is all bad for you and stuff. And then this week, in the year of our Lord and Savior 2023, our Lord and Savior being Ticker Tech, because they have the power to give us life or crush our souls.
I totally thought you were going to say Ocean Gate submersibles, but...
Have you seen that Ocean Gate's already advertising for their next voyage?
I did! Well, I've also seen them immediately put up an advertisement for another pilot for their submarines. They need someone to fill that job. They did it like 2 days later. It was absolutely unhinged. I'm laughing because it's the craziest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's literally a satire.
It is.
The billionaire boss dies and immediately they're like, we must continue.
We need someone else show. To take the next.
The show must go on. It's like, perhaps maybe don't kill more people.
Fuck.
Anyway.
Wow. Moving on from that.
That's so wild. Anyway.
yeah.
Blake Lively has lived a public lifestyle. This week on Twitter, she announces that she's launching, an alcohol in a can mixer a company called Betty Booze.
Thing. Yeah.
It's basically just flavored soda waters. It's basically just like bubbly with alcohol in it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is all good and fine, except for the fact that she doesn't... she clearly does not drink these beverages because she's sober.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a whole, I don't particularly give a fuck when celebrities shell out, like, you know...
Yeah, make a brand.
Sell out and advertise things that they don't actually use. I don't typically give much of a fuck because it's the... That's, like, the whole thing. It's the game, you know?
Yeah.
But when it's like this, when it's about something... like alcohol?
Yeah.
That's, like, actually technically... you know, causes issues and people can get alcoholism and,
yeah.
you know, people can get really... this is not like a clothes company or...
Yeah, yeah. No, it's...
A hotel.
It's a bit serious. It's like, yeah.
It's like, that would be like, you know, all the gambling ads with like Mark Wahlberg and shit.
Yeah.
In my head, it's similar to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do think that it's irresponsible. Personally, I think it's irresponsible for her to be creating, selling, and making money off of a substance that she herself has said is dangerous and bad in the past.
Honestly, I totally agree.
But I do want to be clear that I don't usually give a fuck when celebrities sell out, but this specifically, I think because it's a substance thing.
Well, I think it's one of the most absolutely unhinged moves that she could have made. Because it's like... Everybody knows that you don't drink alcohol.
Everybody knows.
What kind of... What did you think was going to happen here?
Well, Miss like, Things in...
Just like marketing, you know, and PR-wise, what did you think was going to...
This episode is called Delusional Debbies because Miss Lively is also a Delusional Debbie because
she
the very first, the very first line of her Instagram post announcing her new company was, I don't drink, but.
Yeah. Weird. 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 Basically, you're basically just admitting that you did this for money, right? Because.
Yeah, well, no, in her post, it's not for money. It's because she wants people drinking healthy alcohol that has real fruit in it. And I'm like, Miss
But we all know that means she just wants the money.
Yeah, go piss, girl. That is not true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck.
I don't know. I think that that's a step too far for
no, absolutely.
Me personally. I mean, I also ultimately don't give a fuck about this either, but I think that it's kind of shitty of her.
Yeah, well, again, it's just one of those things. It's like a, it's a bit of a beige flag. It kind of makes you look at her and go, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
What was that about?
Yeah.
What was the, it's not that we genuinely are like, fuck Blake Lively. It's like, yeah. Blake Lively, I'm giving you bombastic side eye right now.
Well, yeah, it's like, this has been so public in the past, her not drinking and stuff and being sober that it's like, did no one in her team
think this
pause
through.
And think to tell her that it's like
yeah.
a bad optics. I don't know. That like if she was like 5 years ago in an article, I think vitamins and supplements are dumb and a waste of money and don't really do anything. And then 5 years later, she's selling her own brand of like vitamins and supplements. I wouldn't really give a fuck because ultimately it's pretty
harmless.
I think
I'd probably feel the same way, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
So if it was like...
Well, I mean, not if it was just like a once-off comment that she'd made, but if it was like a consistent, like, stance against whatever it is.
Yes, yes. No, that's the thing, is that she has... It's been like her, a thing for her.
Yeah, exactly.
For years past. Yes. You are right.
Whack. Absolutely whack.
So that's my thing. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that thing is also absolutely wild. Shall we move on? Because...
Yes.
We're just talking a lot of, we're just being generally angry this week. So.
Are we not generally angry every week?
Well, I mean, we are, but I think this week in particular, we feel very rage against the machine, you know?
Is the machine tick a tick?
No, I think the machine is just the world.
You know why I was also a little mad at Taylor is because of the shit show that the US pre-sale, the US tickets were?
Yeah.
Like, the Ticketmaster shit literally was so bad in America that it got changed.
But their stuff was different to our stuff, wasn't it? Like, a lot of their stuff was about the demand and the price changes and shit. Right.
Yeah. And capacity, it was... Yeah, but I'm also like, how... Was this not better thought out after the shit show that was the American pre-sale and general on sale? I don't know. Anyway,
I think this was the... It's been better thought out because they changed the queue system. This is the first time they've ever changed this system. And they obviously were like, this is the solution to all of the problems. When in fact, it just created more but different problems. Honestly, I just don't think there was ever going to be a solution considering the high demand, right? I think it was just never going to... There was always going to be disappointment.
But I think there was a way for the people who wanted, who were actual fans.
Well, I was going to say, like,
to be prioritized over general public.
The disproportionate amount of, like, massive fans that I've seen not get tickets versus, like, generally interested people who did get tickets is, like, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Do you have any entertainment news items that you want to talk about, or?
Not really. I can't really remember what happened this week. As always.
That's really fair. I can't find one of the things I was going to talk about. That's okay. I have other things. Did you see that, like, in America, it's okay to discriminate against, like, people of color and women and gays now?
I did see that, and I'm disappointed that you've brought that up.
Well, I don't have a lot to say on it because America's a dump, but
yeah,
I just want to say that that's so fucking dumb and so fucking stupid, and yeah. I don't envy anyone who lives in America.
It's so... Like, it's like when you didn't think it could get any worse, it still does. Like, they still, it's like,
they literally,
you had no hope left to lose, and you had no hope left to lose, and yet then they do something else, and you find out you did, in fact, have hope left to lose.
Yeah.
You know?
You thought they hit rock bottom, lol, turns out there's a few more layers underneath.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, fuck, it's so just disappointing and upsetting for everyone.
It is genuinely wild. Did you watch RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under season 2 yet?
No, I didn't. Ugh.
Season 3 starts at the end of the month, and they did the cast reveal, and it looks really, really good, and yeah. I continue to be an advocate for this show.
Love that.
Because season 2 was one of my favourite seasons of Drag Race. Ever. I just rewatched it the other day and it still slaps. It still slaps.
Yeah, I do.
Specifically because I think in season 1, RuPaul and stuff were like expecting the Australian queens to be on the same level.
Yeah.
Fashion-wise and cost-wise and all this stuff as, like, the American version.
Yeah.
But I think in season 2, they kind of lowered their expectations and realized, oh, the Australian queens are more about camp and being funny and just having fun kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, this season, they don't really give a fuck about the runways. They don't really, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, interesting.
It's kind of like, that's a fun concept. We are okay with the fact that it's only half sewn.
Yeah.
You know? It makes it 10 times more enjoyable. The cast is incredible. It's really fun.
Okay. Interesting.
Did you want to talk about Miss Rodrigo's vampire?
Yes, obviously. I mean, not that I have anything to say aside from...
Slay.
It punched me in the face and then has not let up since then.
Jeez.
Every time I listen to it, I'm like, wow. It's every single time. Like, my enjoyment of it's not going down. Every time it's, like, still equally, wow, this is great. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of gagged that, she was able to put out a song on the same level as Driver's License for this new album cycle. I think that's pretty iconic.
I agree.
there's few artists, I think, who can do a follow-up to their debut that's, like, all around on par, yeah, if not better than the first. I think Lorde did it with Melodrama. I'm just thinking recently. Lorde did it with Melodrama. Yeah. I think Olivia's doing it with Guts and Vampire.
Yeah.
I think Rina Sawayama did it. I don't know. There's really not that many that I think. Anyway,
well, I think the really interesting song. Yeah, it is. I think the interesting thing about Olivia is that, I mean, A, no one knew whether she was going to be able to follow up, just because it's kind of like, did you go through this really bad thing and you wrote some amazingly inspired music about it, and now that that's gone, you've got nothing to say. Like, it's like one of those things where, yeah, it's like, who knows? Not in a bad
also
way.
Also, driver's license was just such a cultural moment that it's like...
Oh, it was. It was.
No one would be shocked if that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Oh, for driver's sure. Driver's license, you know? For sure. That was crazy. That was so crazy. But yeah, she's just like, she's done nothing in 2 years. Not even just music-wise. Like, we've just like heard no news about her. She's been out of the public eye, and then she just drops this song and she's like, mic drop, boom.
Yeah.
I'm the artist of our generation.
Yeah. And I think it also, if Driver's License and Vampire have the same thing in common in that they are probably like 2/3 power ballad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that says that general audiences and radio and everything are here for power ballads, and I think
really true.
We should be seeing more of them, but really we don't.
No, you're right, because I think the thing that Olivia does so well, like when I think of like a traditional ballad versus what she's kind of doing, is that yes, while it's still there in terms of like, you know, the heartfelt lyrics and the whatever,
mm-hmm,
she still manages to make it like really fucking catchy and like upbeat enough that you like can bop along to it, you know, as opposed to a kind of a slower version, you know. I don't know, it's
yeah,
very,
that's why I'm saying power ballad.
Yeah, sure, but like
it's giving like kind of 80s power ballad vibes.
For sure when I was just talking about that, I was like, it's giving Don't Stop Believing in terms, yeah, exactly, of that, like, yeah, it's fun and upbeat and catchy and you can't help but sing along to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very that. And it gives you the highs and lows. It gives you the moments to like...
So true. So true. It's so
stroke your face and be melancholy. Crafted. And also to like scream the lyrics.
Oh my God. So true.
And a good power ballad needs to have at least one moment where you can scream the lyrics.
Oh, that's so accurate. And she has many.
This just happens to be most of the song.
Yeah. God, it's such a good song. It's a very good song. I'm very, very excited for the album now.
I am too.
Mm.
I mean, there's not really any skips on her first album.
No, there's not. There's not. It was a very, very good album, and now I'm excited for a follow-up very good album.
T-Sist.
Yeah. Mm.
Anyway. Did you see the DC Superman casting news?
I did. I also saw he looks exactly like Henry Cavill.
I mean, my take on that is that they keep casting Superman to look like the Superman from the comics, so they're gonna look the same anyway.
Of course.
For context, James Gunn and DC have cast David Corenswet as Superman / Clark Kent, and Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane. And I think Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane is inspired. I think that's
genius.
Hold on,
I didn't hear about this. I'm looking her up. Rachel Brosnahan.
She is Midge, and she is the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Interesting.
If you watch, like, one clip of her in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, you'll be like, okay, that's slay. She's got the comedy chops, she's got the drama chops, she's got the everything. She's just fucking phenomenal, and as an actor, she's amazing, and I already stand her, so the fact that she's been cast in this big epic movie, I'm very excited about personally.
Love that.
David Corenswet, I've only seen in The Politician.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very good in that. He looks British. I don't know, I thought he was British, but turns out he's American.
How do you spell his name?
Corren. C-O-R-E-N. S-W-E-T.
Interesting. He's younger than her.
He is. But she looks young anyway, so.
She does.
But yeah, she's like rapid fire, like really, really great. He was just in Pearl with Mia Goth.
Yeah.
Which was like beyond critically acclaimed. It's like Martin Scorsese's favorite movie of last year. It was like a big moment.
Oh, he was in House of Cards, but for one episode.
Wig. Okay, anyway, the,
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Thing specifically I want to talk about this is that, one, I'm a fan of the casting, and two, it inspired the funniest Twitter internet moment of the week for me. Okay?
Okay.
So, at Joey Monda tweeted, something about it. It has, like, 100,000 likes. Went viral. But for, like, different reasons. So, Joey Monda tweeted, and it was... I'll just let you interpret it. So, it says, the new Superman is gonna be huge. Okay?
I can't see. It's really blurry.
Okay, well... I'll text it to you, but...
Okay.
So, the tweet says, the new Superman is gonna be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Me, immediately, I'm like, oh, that's a thirst tweet.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the photos, and everyone's welcome to go look them up, he's got a massive chunky bulge in these photos.
He does.
Of him at the beach. So, when Joey Monda is talking about Superman's gonna be huge, he's talking about Superman being hung, okay? With that alien cock.
Absolutely, that's what I would also assume.
And that is what it is, right? But yeah. If you see the first reply, it turns out that the straight nerds found the tweet and thought that they were that he was body shaming David Corenswet for not being buff enough like Henry Cavill was.
What?
Yeah. So there was like replies from iconic straight fanboys who like didn't realize that it was the first tweet about his cock.
That's so funny.
And were tweeting back like, "Stop body shaming," and he's got plenty of time to bulk up. And Henry Cavill was rather small before he made it onto the big stage of Hollywood. Lol at his role in The Tudors. Not muscular by any means. Same physique as pictured above. Still, we want Henry back. The way
people are so willing to die on a hill for something
and the way that straight
that
men think everything's about them.
I know, so true. So
it's like, this is a thirst tweet for the girls and the gays, not for you to, like, think it's about body shaming.
I know, which none of you even care about anyway.
Yeah, and you don't think that it's, you don't see this tweet and think, oh, when he's saying huge, he means huge in popularity and, like, world household name. That's not obvious. That's obviously not what he means, you know? I don't know. I just find it yet another example of delusional Debbies.
So true. Oh my god, today is the day for that.
Today's the day of delusional Debbies.
Wow.
So anyway, that kept me entertained for a good couple hours.
That's wild.
You're right?
People are so weird. People are... They're just... Sometimes I see the general population and I go, what are you thinking? How did you arrive at that conclusion?
Yeah.
Moving on. Do you have any more topics for this week?
Only Silo.
Oh. Like a delusional Debbie. Stop. I totally thought we were going to get the answers to everything.
Well, that was stupid. But wait, okay. If you've not seen the TV show Silo on Apple TV Plus, go watch it and then come back. We're about to discuss spoilers for the season finale.
Yes, we are. And you absolutely should go and watch it, by the way, because
it's a phenomenal show.
It was really very, very good.
Honestly, it might be my favorite show of the year, followed closely by The Last of Us.
How? Wow. Really?
And everyone knows I'm a Last of Us stan.
Yeah, we do. That's a big
I don't know. Cool. This show just like hit very specifically all of my trigger points of like a government conspiracy and like the Hunger Games vibes and, you know.
That's fair.
Also, like, badass woman as the, lead.
Rebecca Ferguson. I'm always going to be a simp. Popped off. So true. Same.
Slay. To be, like, clear, I really enjoyed the season finale, and I thought the season finale slapped, and I thought it answered enough and kept enough as a mystery. Now, Maddie, go and rant at me about your thoughts on the finale.
I thought it was very, very good. I just thought we were going to kind of get the answers to everything because I just kind of assumed it was only going to be the one season. Like, I didn't really think they were going to set us up with that cliffhanger just because I didn't think that they would do that. So I will 100% fully admit to culpability of being like, I think these are based on books. I'm going to go read the synopsis of all the books, which I did do. So I know now how it ends because I needed the answers to everything. So I got answers to everything, which makes me feel much better.
That's unhinged. I can understand you.
I will say, from what I read, they actually stuck quite closely to the first book. It's a trilogy. They stuck really quite closely to the first book. What? Oh, the book.
Book. Yeah, I've got. That's what my microphone's currently sitting on is Wall by Hugh Howey.
Huh. There you go. It's the only whack thing they did was that they stopped the TV series about like a quarter, like a third of, no, probably a quarter of the way from the end of the book. So they missed the whole last quarter of the book, which I thought was interesting.
That is interesting.
Which they did in order to leave it on a cliffhanger.
Yeah. I thought that the cliffhanger was good. I was obsessed with how well they paid off early season plot points and
I agree.
Red herrings and stuff. Specifically, same. With like the heat tape and stuff like that. Really fucking dope. I genuinely think the writing is some of the best of the year, if not up there. What were the cliffhangers? The cliffhangers, I enjoyed the
Plot twist was about what were you going to say?
No, you go.
Well, the plot twist was about the visor display, right?
I guessed that episode one.
Did you really? Okay, we did not guess that. We were like, okay, it's definitely green outside. And then we were like, okay, so what's the conspiracy here? Is it like the suits? Do they put like poison in the suits and that's where they die? Why are they the screen?
Yeah, they like hallucinate, yeah.
Yeah. Why are they on the screens for some people and not on the screen for other? No, not hallucinate. I thought it was they
killed them, yeah.
Yeah, like napalmed them or something.
Yeah.
And then we were like, literally all the way up until the end when they did the heat tape switch, I was like, I don't really understand how this is working because if they put their heat tape on and it's better than theirs, then how does that mean? Like, is she going to take the hood off and that's going to let the fresh air in and not the poison, blah, blah, blah. And we were like, what's the deal with the silos? Like, is this...
It did keep me guessing. And in that, I'm just going to quickly point this in, is when she took the sheriff's badge with her, I was like, she's gonna use it to stab the thing to open it.
Yeah, right.
But no, my original guess was correct, but continue.
Yeah, well, because we kind of built that theory around the fact that we were like, we think this silo is some kind of like working farm kind of situation where, or maybe some kind of experiment where, and then on the outside everything's fine, but they need these people down here underground working to like produce electricity or something, or it's like some kind of experiment to see when people go crazy from being stuck in underground for so long. Which we did not get an answer to in the TV series, but I did get an answer to when I read the book synopsis, so I'll leave the answer to that unsaid now.
Yeah.
Although we did see that the land was ravaged.
Yes.
And clearly
I think ultimately the kind of like themey of the season one was like about paranoia and rebellion and how it all like intersects and stuff. Which I thought was really good and not often explored. Like, halfway through season one, when it's revealed that there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Shook. Gagged. absolutely
that was
gooped.
So iconic. That was such a good plot twist. Honestly, everything's such a good plot twist.
Period. Dot.
And the, one of the questions I still desperately want an answer to, which I didn't get in the books, was there was this one throwaway line where Sims, when his wife, he was seeing his wife, and it was after the big bad dude had said, "I don't want you to shadow me." And Sims and his wife, he was like, she was like, "Just remember what we're working towards. Remember what our agenda is," or something like that. And he was like, "Yes, I'll remember." And I'm like, what's their agenda? Do they have a separate one? Do they, are they not aligned? Are they doing their own little mastermind thing? What's the deal? What
is going on? It did give little vibes of his, he's willing to betray, or he's like a double agent kind of thing to the president guy. Yeah.
I need an answer.
Yeah,
to that.
No, I agree. Yes, in episode one or early episode two, whenever the wife and Holston went out to clean, I was like, I think, and there's like a whole thing about them saying we're not going to clean and then actually cleaning and all this stuff. And I was like, I think, I said this out loud to my parents so they can attest, I think that the outside world really is post-apocalyptic and not survivable. But I think that the government either pumps their gas with, like, their suit with gas that, like, makes them hallucinate that they're in, like, a lush garden.
Yeah.
Or it's like a display, like screens, like augmented reality.
Yeah.
And they do that so that the people are like, oh my God, everyone inside has to see this. They're lying to you, so I'll clean the thing.
Yeah.
And it's like a mind fuck. And I was mostly right. Which, slay for me. But
no,
I will say,
that's almost 100%
correct. Genuinely kept me guessing right up until it started to like glitch. Because I was like, I thought I was like, oh, I was wrong. She's going to use the sheriff badge's pin to like open her suit.
Yeah. No. Well, the first time I had any inkling that that was going to be, that was going to be what the plot twist was they did like back to back, they did this thing. Oh, she looked at the Jane Carmody cleaning or something, I'm not sure, and then almost immediately after she looked at the green display, I don't know what it was, but they had the same birds, and I was like,
it was, she saw that, and then when she went out to clean, she saw that the same birds were there.
That's right.
And it gave the audience like 30 seconds to realize it on their own, and then it did the flashback to seeing that the cleaning. So I thought that was really good as well.
It's really true. It was. And then it kind of kept like slowly going into it with the yes, she's kind of walking, she's not sure. She trips, but she can't see what she trips over. Then she looks down and then it glitches. Even up until that point, Mum and Dad were like, "What's going on? What's going on?" It's like, we'll press pause so I can explain.
And then it finished and Mum was like, "Well then, if they're not lying to everyone, why is it also they're kind of lying, but
secret?
Like they're not lying about the outside being destroyed." And I'm like, that's the point, is they live in this world where all of the history is destroyed and they don't even know that there's questions about their lives that they need to ask. So if there's no questions, if they don't even know that they should be asking questions, then there's not going to be any type of paranoia or rebellion. And that's ultimately for me what it was about, right? Is the lying and the control and the cameras and everything is all sketchy and stuff because they desperately want people to not be able to even have a thought of maybe we should go outside because they're just trying to avoid another rebellion. So there's so many layers to it. I don't know.
It's interesting because they create a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? By lying about it, when people start to figure out there's a lie, they start to go, well, now I have questions. And when the questions aren't easily answered, they go, well, but again, it's interesting because because I read the synopsis of the book, I go, it just all makes so much sense. Like the way that it ends, like it's a very, very well-structured story. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Interesting. Yeah, 11 out of 10. I really, really, really loved it.
Faux shizzle. It was very good.
And I think that they dropped plot twists and big story moments at the perfect times because they gave enough time for, like, even the slower episodes, there was like character building.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
Well, like there was a whole episode about like Juliet's mum answered. And stuff like that.
Yeah, that's so true. The other thing that I didn't get answered in the show that I really wanted, although I've basically got from reading by the books, is how George said he found the door at the bottom of the water with the building thing. And he was like, you don't even need to worry about the water. That's not a problem. Like, what is that about? Is that because it's only 1 centimeter deep? Like, where's the door? What's the situation? Where does it go? Like, anyway.
I mean, we know where it goes.
Yes, I do know where it goes, but still.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the water's about either, but...
No, I don't know what the water's about.
The door
about.
Itself, we can assume, goes to the other silos and stuff, which... Slay.
Slay.
Cute.
Cool. Wow. Well.
Everyone watch Silo. It's a fucking great show.
It was phenomenal. It was very good.
Phenomenal. Period dot.
Oh, goodness. Okay. All right. Okay. I'll wrap this baby up.
Oh, that was my other thing to say, to tell you. The show finished, and Mum and Dad were like, when are we going to get more? When's season two? And I was like, knowing streaming services and how TV's made these days, 18 months to 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But then I Googled, and Apple is actually using the old TV model. So Apple basically renews shows early.
Yeah,
and then by the time the season's finished airing, they're already filming season two. So Silo season two's filming and has been for the past like few weeks.
Whack. I knew it had already been renewed because I looked it up, but oh my god, that's so good that they're already filming. I just assumed that it would be like an 18-month wait because yes, it had been renewed, but they were going to take ages to write the scripts and that's so good.
Yeah, so for like context, HBO and Netflix and stuff, they don't renew a show immediately, and even if they do, production doesn't start straight away. And it's like 2 years between seasons, which is fucking crazy. And like with Stranger Things, I think it was 2.5-3 years, which...
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just not sustainable for TV. Like I miss the shows when they did 24, 45 minute episodes a year and they were always on time.
We talk about this a lot. Yeah.
But Apple's going back to that because then I was like, oh, I wonder if this thing where they... what do they call it? They, commission the scripts for the next season really early on, and then if the show does well enough, they green light it and they've already got the scripts and they're good to film straight away.
That's so good.
And they do that with all of their shows, so like Foundation, Ted Lasso, all of those, like all the shows that are big on this platform, they're doing it correctly is what I'm trying to say.
Love that.
I need other networks to like pick up the pace, because The Last of Us Part 2 is not even going to start filming until at least like January next year.
That's horrifying.
And it was like a full year of post-production on that show.
That's crazy. I did see, I know we've talked about this once before actually, about Apple TV and about how they're like, they were kind of like the underdog of streaming services. Like, I think no one really took them seriously. And they've just really quite consistently been... Like, they're not doing, like, a Netflix where they're just doing so many shows, or they're not doing an Amazon where they're doing these big, massive names things and spending a fuck ton of money. They're just, like, quietly and consistently producing very, very, very good quality shows in a format that people are used to and are wanting to go back to. And I think, I would not be surprised if in, like, 5 or 10 years, they're, like, one of the only ones left standing, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And not only do I think Apple has the money to be able to greenlight shows early and stuff, but I from what I've seen online from the creators and stuff, is that they're very creator-focused and...
Yeah, nice. Which is obviously paying
off. Results in higher quality shows.
Yeah, exactly.
There's rarely, rarely a miss on Apple TV. Blackbird was one of the best shows of last year. I don't know if you watched that.
No, I didn't. But it's worth a watch. I'm trying to convince Mum and Dad to watch that, and Severance, actually.
And Severance is... I literally, whenever I think about Severance, I get, like, chills and, like, in my emotions, because it's that fucking good. Like, Severance could... potentially be like my favorite show of all time. I just,
Back.
I really, really fucking adore Severance.
Yeah, I'm trying to get them to watch those two because all the episodes are out. So I'm like, there's no commitment here. We can just watch them whenever we want to watch them. But
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Shrinking's another good one, but kind of heavy.
Interesting. I also really, really want to watch Morning Wars as well. I'm desperate to see that. I tried to watch For All Mankind. It was actually the reason why I signed up to Apple TV in the first place. But I watched one episode and I was like, this is the most boring show. Yeah. They had the greatest concept and then they completely flopped.
Yeah. Apparently it does pick up. Apparently For All Mankind does pick up, but I'm not really interested in watching half a season of slow TV to then get to
the
good stuff.
Really fair.
And
it was
Everyone's season 2 is almost finished filming.
Did it end on a cliffhanger?
It answered a lot of questions, but it does still technically end on a cliffhanger, yeah.
Interesting. Maybe I'll wait. It's really funny. Every single time I introduce mom and dad to a TV show and it's either like a week by week or it's early in its run or whatever, like it's only got a couple of seasons, but there's still more seasons to come.
Yeah.
Inevitably, every single time, mom and dad are like, you know, I just think it was really good that we got into Game of Thrones so late because we didn't need to watch weekly for most of it. We only had to watch it for the last couple of seasons. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, but this is fine too. Literally, every conversation. No, they don't care about that. They're like, I just don't want to wait. Which is mum's because, and I tell you why, we watched Confess Fletch on the weekend and I had to pause it. Because mum was making dinner, fine, whatever, we were all making dinner. We sit back down and she goes, I've forgotten everything that's happened. Can you please refresh me? It's like, bro, it's been 15 minutes. What do you mean? And she's like, this is why I can't watch TV shows weekly because it just disappears from my brain. So that's, she can't do 15 minutes, let alone week to week, let alone
just
years in between seasons. Yeah, it's so true.
Because the season finale of Silo finished, right? We got all that information. And mum goes, so the outside really is green, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, mum, we just watched 10 hours explaining that it's... What?
Oh, God.
The most, it's just true. It's a mum thing.
At the end of Confess Fletch, I did have to go, okay. Mum was like, I don't know what happened. So I had to go through the entire movie
point by point and explain everything.
And at the end, she was like, I think I understand. So why did this happen? And I'm like, okay, I can be patient. It's not like we didn't see it play out.
Yeah.
Second by second, 5 minutes ago, but whatever, it's fine.
Period. I mean, shows where you have to like sit down with whoever you're watching it with and have like a debrief at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Them's is my shows.
So fair.
We had to do it with Silo. We had to do it with The Last of Us. We had to do it with Severance. Yeah. We had to do it with The Bear.
Yeah. Like, we did. We watched The Banshees of Inisherin on the weekend, actually. Have you seen it?
Loved it.
Dad left halfway through. He just went to bed. He just got up and walked out. He didn't even say a single word. He just went to bed, and then we heard the TV from his bedroom. And I was like, oh, well, he's had enough of this then.
Amazing.
And mum talked about it with me for 2 days afterward because she was like, I just don't really think I understand what it was about. Like, mum, you literally were an English teacher. What do you mean you don't understand what it was about?
Stunning.
Yeah.
It was the same with my mum too. I was like, I watched it by myself and then I was like, mum, dad, you're not going to like it. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
Mum, I think you'll like it.
Yeah, yeah.
So give it a go. And she watched it and she was like, it was depressing.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Mum and dad, mum was like, she was like, I liked it because it was a bit funny. I'm like, okay, yes, it was a little bit funny, but it was kind of a bit deeper than that. And she was like, yeah, it was good. And then she's like, it was way better than that other stupid movie you made me watch. And I'm like, what one's that? And she's like, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I'm like, is that a joke? She says, that's the worst movie I've ever seen in my whole life. Like, you're a liar. You're a liar.
I don't think she was sat down with, like, the right headspace to watch
I totally agree.
Actually, the bear's probably a good one for your family. They might.
You reckon?
Yeah, it's set in a kitchen, and it's quite high
stakes.
High pressure, high pace. High pressure, fast pace. Sorry.
Love that.
And also, my family just started watching The Strain. It's on Disney Plus. It's 4 seasons. It's completely finished. 4 seasons, I think 13 episodes a season.
Okay.
And what it's did about you say it was like
on, sorry?
Disney Plus.
Okay.
It's created by and based on a book by Guillermo del Toro, so it's like it's set in modern times, but it's like hard supernatural vampires.
Love that. That's a vibe.
Like vampires where like their tongue comes out of their mouth and like latches on like a parasite.
Ugh. Horrifying.
But it's really good and it's like a fun mystery. And also it's all completed and ready to go.
I do love that. Mom loves that. So.
And it was finished after 4 seasons. It didn't get cancelled. So it's like a full story.
Do love that. There's
no cliffhanger.
I do love that.
Anyway.
All right. Okay. We should probably wrap up because we've just been basically just chatting.
We have. I'll cut it down. It'll be fine.
I feel like that's fair. And understandable. Anyway. All right.
Fucking watch Silo, everyone.
So true. Get on it. It's great.
Okay. Maddie, where can people follow you?
@real_Maddie, MADDIE_M, just the letter M, on TikTok and Instagram. Nicholas, pod.
If you want to follow the pod, you can @WTFIHpodcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. All the links down below as usual. Mine is NIC_sushi on TikTok and Twitter. Although Twitter's really, I don't know how much longer I can stay on there because it's a shit show.
It is.
Elon's just limited the amount of tweets you can look at a day.
Oh my god, I saw this. It was crazy. And it's
like, isn't that the antithesis of what you want social media to be is happening?
Supposed to be about? Yeah. Insane. Anyway. Absolutely insane.
Shit show. And that's all. See you next week.
Bye!
Bye! Oh, no, wait. We have to... Thanks so much for listening.
For listening to Motherfuckers New Podcast.
Bye.
Bye.
50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.